Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, as the RTE payments crisis continues to engulf the national broadcaster, seven RTE executives and board members have been invited to appear before the Oireachtas Media Committee on Wednesday, including the now former Director General Dee Forbes, who resigned this morning. Another Oireachtas committee, the Public Accounts Committee, also met in private this afternoon to establish its list of invitees in advance of a planned meeting with the RTE as well as civil servants on Thursday. With more on this, we're joined by Catherine Murphy, Social Democrats TD and Vice Chair of the Public Accounts Committee, and also Fine Gael Deputy Alan Dillon, who's a member of both committees. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Before we get into questions that I know both of you have, I just want to bring you an email that was sent just in the last couple of minutes from NUJ RTE to its members. And it says, "Dear colleague, we're acutely aware of the ongoing anger of members and also of the powerlessness that many of us are feeling in response to requests from members. We are calling a lunchtime protest for 1 p.m. tomorrow at the Plaza in RTE Donnybrook. This will be an opportunity for all of us to stand together and express in unity our anger and the urgent need for answers as soon as possible for the public and for us. Please join us and bring placards that express your feelings about all that has happened and or about the values of trust and transparency that we all demand of RTE." And as I say, that's just coming from the NUJ branch of RTE in the last couple of minutes to its members. Separately, also in the last couple of minutes, presenter Miriam O'Callaghan has said that for the purposes of transparency, honesty and clarity, she wanted to put on the record that her most recently published fee from RTE, €263,500, is correct. In a post on social media, she said she had never received additional payments from RTE that were not publicly declared. She said there's profound shock, anger and sadness among everyone working at RTE, and all journalists can do is cover the story as rigorously as they cover every other story. I'll come to our guests now and thank you both for waiting. Catherine Murphy, I'll come to yourself first. And the Public Accounts Committee is meeting in private this afternoon to establish that list of invitees in advance of a planned meeting with RTE as well as civil servants on Thursday. Have you come to a decision yet?
Yes, there's actually quite a long list. Some of the people who would have been invited by the media committee are also going to be on the list for the Public Accounts Committee, which is not terribly surprising, because you would expect to see people like the Chief Financial Officer, the Head of Commercial on that list.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Catherine. I'll go through the list that have been invited to the other committee, and you can tell me if there's anyone separately to that you'd also like to see come before PAC. So at the moment, the invites to the media committee are extended to Rory Coveney, RTE's Director of Strategy, Geraldine O'Leary, Director of Commercial, Richard Collins, Chief Financial Officer, Jim Jennings, Director of Content, Adrian Lynch, formerly Director of Audience Channels and Marketing and now Acting DG, and the former DG, Dee Forbes. I think I've got them all there.
Yeah, well, we would be obviously inviting the Secretary General of the relevant department, Department of Culture and Media, who has the legal responsibility there. We'd also be inviting we're inviting a previous Director General of RTE. What we're looking to do is we're looking to invite the people in those. There's a couple of them that are on both lists, but we're also trying to cover the bases to make sure that people who were in the positions prior to 2020 are also invited, because we want to deal with the entirety of the 345,000, not just the amounts that have been in the news over the weekend in relation to the barter account. So there won't be named people, but we are looking for people if they weren't in position, or the people who are currently in position weren't in position at that
point.
I
understand. And when you say the previous DG of RTE, which one is that?
I think it's Noel Curran, is it?
Okay.
Look, we're just trying to cover the period, and I think it would be wholly unsatisfactory if we only ended up being able to deal with the amounts that related to the commercial agreement in relation to Renault, but we need to go beyond that and cover the totality of it. And I think it's very useful to see that you know, the transparency in relation to Claire Byrne, Joe Duffy and Miriam O'Callaghan now. And indeed, even though there might be eye-watering amounts, I think it's really, they're really kind of showing the way this needs to be handled by RTE when they come in front of both of those committees. We just need candour.
Do you want and expect Dee Forbes to attend the Public Accounts Committee on Thursday?
Every member of the Public Accounts Committee wants Dee Forbes to attend, and we think that she's the person in the position to give us the, certainly in relation to the most recent amounts, to give us the fullest outline of what occurred and who knew what. We have included on the list for the Public Accounts Committee the head of legals, because that she would have mentioned mentioned that person in her statement this morning. So we certainly would want to have her attend, and indeed she has, as you know, previously attended at the Public Accounts Committee.
And of course, that was when she was employed by RTE, which she no longer is, and therefore I suppose technically no longer has any obligations to attend.
Yes, but I mean, I think that she has made it very clear in her statement about her, her regard for RTE and the work that she has done. And I would hope that she would see it as a, really an important thing for her to do, to come along to the meeting and give the committee more or less a full overview of what she knows.
And can you compel her to attend?
No, at the moment, the Public Accounts Committee, the remit of the Public Accounts Committee is limited to the accounts that are audited by the Controller and Auditor General. RTE would not be audited by the Controller and Auditor General. That is, they're audited by a commercial entity. So the Public Accounts Committee will be seeking to have bespoke extension of our remit for the purposes of dealing with this issue with RTE.
Okay, but if you do get that bespoke extension of your remit, that won't give you the power to compel any witnesses. Is that right?
You require that to you require the the remit to be extended to then go the next stage where compellability is something that's considered, but that isn't something that is on the agenda for Thursday.
On the agenda for Thursday, but you're not ruling that out, Catherine Murphy, at this point, that if Dee Forbes doesn't attend voluntarily, that the committee wouldn't seek the powers of compellability in this instance.
We'd certainly have to come back to that.
All right.
But I would very much hope that she does attend on Thursday. And I think it would be in everybody's interest that that happens.
Stay with us if you don't mind. I mentioned we also have Alan Dillon on the line. Alan, you're a member of both committees, the media and the Public Accounts Committee. And I assume you also want Dee Forbes to attend, and do you want her to attend both?
Good evening, Sarah. Yes, I would agree with Deputy Murphy. I hope she reflects today and tomorrow and morally volunteers to attend the committee. Her non-attendance would be detrimental to the reputation of RTE. We're 4 days on and there's still no RTE explanation whatsoever for why the public, the Oireachtas, and the government were repeatedly misled for years about Tuberty's pay. And that certainly leaves a dark shadow. We still need to see individual accountability on this matter. I said today, anyone refusing to attend the Oireachtas Committee hearings this week, you know, discussing really critical issues around corporate governance at RTE will be judged harshly by the public. And that is only right. And certainly, whether senior personnel are still in employment with RTE or have concluded their careers at the broadcaster, you know, if they have knowledge and an insight to offer on this affair, they should attend this week's hearing in Leinster House. And that includes the acting DG, the incumbent DG, the Director of Commercial Activities and Negotiations, the Chief Financial Officer.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. List a little earlier on. Now, RTE has not said who will be attending that committee meeting. All they have said at this point is that members of the executive will be attending the committee meeting. So there's been no commitment yet from RTE that all those who have been invited will attend. Would that be acceptable in your view? You know, people might have bona fide reasons for not being able to attend.
Well, as a committee member,
Sorry, I'll go to yourself, Alan, first, like, and then I'll come to you, Catherine. Yeah, go on, Alan.
Thanks, Sarah. As a member of both committees, it certainly won't be acceptable for the witness to present themselves and avoid answering questions by saying that they can't provide the information or they weren't in a position to answer the questions. I think, you know, this certainly will not be tolerated. So, you know, we need truthful accounts of what was decided, what occurred, you know, and was implemented at Munro's is required, nothing else. And I think, you know, the comments today from the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, who also called for Ms. Forbes' cooperation on this matter, was really important and really, really strong. And I hope, you know, we get clarity to determine who knew what, you know, who signed off on it, and to ask how long these, you know, underdeclared payments have been going on. You know, so certainly there's real hard questions that need to be asked. And, you know, from the Oireachtas point of view, you know, we were misled and lied to previously. And I think that record needs to be set straight.
Yeah, RTE said that they did misstate to the public the true reason. Catherine, I know you wanted to come in on whether it would be acceptable for those members who've been invited to not turn up if they have a genuine reason. Is that possible?
I think we have been thoughtful in the people that we seek to come in front of us, mainly because we have a very narrow focus on the issues that we want to pursue with those people, and we feel that they're the people who are best in a position to give us, you know, honest answers where we can actually, you know, where you can actually start rebuilding in some respects the reputation of RTE. But we also want to find out, like, is there anything more, you know, is this kind of thing something that has happened in not necessarily with the top earners but in other respects in relation to credits and things like that on the commercial side. I think it really is important that we know why we were misled, because it was repeated on a number of occasions, you know, that there had been a reduction, and that obviously that reduction wasn't forthcoming with one of the top earner, Ryan Tuberty.
I'll go back to Dee Forbes' statement just in relation to that aspect of it and why people were misled. And this just relates to the €150,000, the €275,000 payments between 2021 and 2022. And Dee Forbes' statement in relation to that aspect specifically, and when it became clear that RTE was going to have to cover those payments, she said that because of the commercial nature of that arrangement, and I think at this point most people are familiar with the commercial arrangement and how that was all set up, she said it was decided to pay the invoices from the commercial barter account, which was in credit. We were motivated purely by the need to find a solution to honour the contractual obligation. That's why she says it was paid from the commercial barter account as opposed to going through the normal channels.
The reality of it is the amount that was stated for the top earners was stated. And, you know, essentially it was incorrect. It was given to the Public Accounts Committee and indeed other committees and by extension to the public. How was it permitted to put something into the public arena that wasn't true? I mean, what it does is undermines trust in other information that's given, other figures that are given. And, you know, so essentially, I do think we do have to talk that out with people. And it would be better if we were discussing that with the person who was last at the Public Accounts Committee talking about those.
All right, Alan, I want to come back to yourself just briefly, because I know you have also said that you believe Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly, his agent, should attend.
Yes, and that issue was raised in the Public Accounts Committee today, and a decision was taken to reserve an invitation to both Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty at a later date, but to engage directly this week with the executives who have responsibility for corporate governance at RTE. So, Sarah, I wouldn't rule out a future invitation to both Noel Kelly, who was the chief negotiator in relation to any commercial activities that resulted in underdeclared payments. And, you know, to add to Catherine's point, you know, while we've got a little bit more detail from Ms. Forbes' statement around some of the barter accounts and the motivation behind them this morning, you know, we don't know the crucial answer, which is why the Oireachtas and the public were not told about these. You know, not to have knowledge at all of 120 €1,000 in hidden Tuberty payments from 2017 to 2019 needs to be examined for a period for when, you know, RTE's top executives, when she was actually within RTE
and she says she doesn't know anything at all about those, as you say, she doesn't know anything about those payments. In terms of what we do know and what information we're likely to get tomorrow afternoon, RTE has said it is going to issue a comprehensive statement setting out its understanding of the circumstances surrounding the misstating of Ryan Tuberty's earnings, but that is only across the 2020 to 22 period that we're expecting to get tomorrow. They've also said they'll publish as much as possible of the Grant Thornton review, which was commissioned by the Audit and Risk Committee of the RTE board and received by the board on Monday last. That was June 19th, 2023. I think, Catherine, that's probably just the start of it, really, in terms of you want those answers, you want those questions answered on Thursday and go from there.
Yes. And you know, we'll see, you know, and I think really the key issue is to be forthcoming. Let's try and put some degree of closure on this.
Okay. So in terms of the answers that we have been getting, including this programme and other programmes across RTE, many of the answers, including lines such as, you know, we can't answer that right now, or in some instances, yep, contact our lawyer, that wouldn't be acceptable for you in terms of answers at the committee on Thursday.
It won't be acceptable to us, it won't be acceptable to the public, it won't be acceptable to the staff of RTE, and it actually will only stretch this out.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Catherine Murphy, Social Democrats TD, and Fine Gael Deputy Alan Dillon.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
In relation to all the ongoing questions outstanding for the RTE board and the RTE executive board, Drive Time did actually contact all current members of the RTE executive board today. We asked them all of the following questions. We asked, when did you first become aware that RTE's payments to Ryan Tuberty for any of the years 2017 to 2019 were greater than the amount published publicly? We also asked, when did you first become aware that in addition to his published RTE remunerations for the years 2020 to 2022, Ryan Tuberty was guaranteed further payments through an arrangement involving RTE and a sponsor? And finally, we also asked, if you were aware of either arrangement, did you have a role in formally approving it? Well, as of now, one member of the executive board has come back to us thus far. That's Richard Waghorn, Director of Operations and Technology. And he has told us, in response to questions one and two, the answer is last Monday evening at a meeting of the executive with the chairperson of the board. That was at 5:30 on Monday evening on the 19th of June. He said, in response to question three, I was not aware of the arrangements and I had no role in approving any of those payments. And that again comes from Richard Waghorn. If we get responses from any of the other RTE executive board before the end of the programme this evening, we will of course bring them to you.
Now, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions has expressed grave concern at the ongoing crisis in RTE, saying that the restoration of public trust must now be a key priority. For more on this, I'm joined by Owen Reedy, who's General Secretary of ICTU and joins me now. Owen, you're very welcome to the programme. I might refer to you to the protest tomorrow, first of all. The NUJ saying that they're acutely aware of the ongoing anger of members and also the powerlessness that many are feeling, and they're asking members to join in a lunchtime protest and at the RTE Plaza in Donnybrook tomorrow at 1 p.m. And I suppose it reflects the, as they say, the powerlessness they feel, but the anger as well.
Yes, Cormac, good afternoon. I mean, we're very conscious that three of our unions, the NUJ, SIPTU and Connect, represent workers in RTE. And I think it's important to remember that over the last decade, those very same workers have been asked to take pay cuts and have pay restraint. And, you know, when they've looked management in the eye, they've been told everyone's in this together. And clearly, the events of the last week has shown that, well, we haven't all been in it together. And that is a serious breach of trust. And that highlights a lot of frustration. But I have to say, I think what we've seen as well in the last 5 days is the best of RTE. I mean, the reporting on this issue and the analysis And the no holding back of many of your colleagues has been exemplary, and it highlights the importance of public service broadcasting in a healthy democracy. I mean, some people have nearly said there's nearly been too much reporting on it, given everything that's going on in the world. But, you know, I think RT clearly don't want to be seen to be running away from the story. And I think what we've seen is the best of public service journalism and the people who work behind the scenes, putting it all together in the last week, holding people to account. And, you know, we need that. And I think that manifestation tomorrow is an expression of that frustration.
Yeah, I would also say it's probably not that they don't want to be seen to be running away from it. It's I'm sure an awful lot of colleagues would believe in public service and public service broadcasting, and they do it obviously for those reasons as well.
Maybe
they feel let down. Can I ask you, ICTU says they have grave concerns. Why?
Well, trust has been broken, not just with the Irish people, who are licensed payers and are very interested in RTE, because it's a facet of Irish life and it's important for Irish democracy, but in particular with the workers, with the staff, who are critical to the future of RTE. And there has been a serious breach of trust and faith. And it's going to take time to restore that. Now, I think Minister Martin's proposed review of culture is a good initiative, but the terms of reference have to be got right, and it is crucial that the voice of the workers through their representative trade unions are centre stage, because you can't address culture in any organisation if the people who are part of the organisation and their voice, their interests, their concerns, their views are not centre stage. So I think that's really, really important. It's also important, Cormac, that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the future of public service broadcasting, making sure that RT is viable, making sure that it and other entities can be funded. Mm-hmm. And it's important that if there's been a breach of trust by a small number of senior people who are yet to be uncovered, that we don't damn the whole organisation and the ethos of that organisation. So I think, you know, those reviews and that important work that's been ongoing to, you know, reform the media and to fund the media, and particularly RT, that shouldn't be derailed because of this. And I think what we're talking about here, though,
is the people at the very top of the organisation. Even if you look at Dee Forbes, the outgoing Director General, and her statement today, she said she worked in conjunction with other senior executives at RTE and all of this. So it's about how the organisation is run. And I just wonder if RTE union members feel that this could end up in terms of salary cuts for them.
Well, I think it can't. They've been here before. I think that would be totally inappropriate. I mean, it is important that senior management and those that have left the organisation turn up at Oireachtas committee hearings. I mean, this thing of people choosing whether they want to turn up to these things or not is not good enough. And it's important that the truth is out, and it's important that we get to the bottom of this. And
but
it's important
won't
that there's
fix
due
the
process
problem
for people too.
If there's a nosedive in advertising revenue as a result of this, you say that the damage could be done to RTE's credibility and trustworthiness. What if that shows up in terms of advertising revenue being curtailed in some way and the funding model being paused? What if results in pay cuts?
Well, the funding model when it comes to the licence fee and the proposals around the future of that should not be paused. That's the point. That critical work needs to continue. Of course, RT also relies on commercial revenue, and there are obviously concerns about that with this happening. But that's why this scandal and this issue needs to be addressed quickly and efficiently and transparently, to give confidence to all of the staff and everyone who has an interest in the future of RT. And we should all have an interest in the future of RT. So it needs to be done carefully, considerately, but it also needs to be done quickly and transparently. And I think, you know, those who are in positions of decision-making, who've signed off on some of these things, they need to come out into the open and answer the questions: who knew what and who signed off on what. And we need to deal with that. So I would imagine all staff on RTE want to see transparency, and they want to make sure that those who have been an authority in the organisation are held to account, and that there are consequences for people's actions.
What does that mean, being held to account?
Well, first of all, it means due process. But I mean, if there are people who have signed off on certain things that weren't transparent or that weren't appropriate, they need to be held to account, and they need to be held to the highest possible standards like everybody else. And there needs to be an investigation.
What if some people knew but never shouted stop? Should there be consequences in that regard?
Yes, there should. I mean, and that's all part of the reason why there needs to be an investigation into the culture of the organization. Because in an organization like RTE, there should be a culture where if people see things that are inappropriate, they should be empowered to shout stop and say halt and at least alert others to certain things. And if that didn't happen, we need to see why it didn't happen, and it needs to be fixed and addressed. I think it's really important. The key word here is transparency. But we cannot have a situation where the staff, many of whom are on precarious contracts, many of them whom aren't permanent, many of whom are on low to middle income pay, they cannot be held to account for the misdeeds of others on this occasion. Those very same workers, Cormac, were the very people who took significant cuts in the last decade to save the organisation, and it would be completely inappropriate to those workers who, you know, are keeping the show on the road in the last 5 days and are showing us the exemplary side of public service broadcasting. And I'm not just talking about the frontline journalists, but I'm also talking about those behind. We also have to look at this issue of people, so-called talent, who are contractors. I mean, I do not see the need. Pat Kenny left, the sky didn't fall in. He was replaced by Sean O'Rourke. Sean O'Rourke retired, the sky didn't fall in. Claire Byrne is, you know. So I think
Richard Boyd Barrett is calling for pay caps for presenters. Is that something you'd support?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a popular thing to say. I mean, people's pay is people's pay. But, you know, I don't want to get into individual personalities. But when you see in the top 10 earners, when you see some of the pay for those at the very top, you have to ask the question, is the organisation getting bang for its buck in a market like Ireland? I would rather see all the people in RTE being on the staff payroll, directly employed on rates of pay commensurate to those that are negotiated by the relevant trade unions and the employer for the particular grades.
You mean do
grades.
Away with contractors altogether?
Well, I don't see the reason why we need it. I mean, there are people on really poor contracts at the other end of the spectrum in RT, and I think a lot of attention needs to be looked at there, and that needs to be regularised. People on precarious work contracts, that's unacceptable.
And
today.
The argument from but RT there, Owen, is that it's sometimes cheaper for RT not to take on pension entitlements and healthcare and so on. What if RT were to say, okay, Owen, if you want us to do that, take on everybody who's on a contract, onto staff, we need more money. We need more funding from government, and we can't afford it.
Well, aside from that issue anyway, Cormac, it's quite clear that RT is going to need more funding over the next period to fulfil its public service broadcasting remit. And I think there's a lot of work that's been done on the future commission of the media commission, and that work needs to continue. But I wouldn't talk about it in the same term of the top five or the top 10. I mean, I've looked at some of those rates of pay, and you kind of say to yourself, in a market like Ireland, why are some people earning such salaries when you have other people in the organisation on very, very modest incomes? Okay. I mean, this is about the future of the organisation. This is about transparency. And this is about making sure that those who have made cuts and who have had pay cuts in the past are not the target of another round of that in the future. They've done their bit.
Can you answer this in 10 seconds, please?
Do
the unions have confidence in how RTE is run at the moment?
Well, I can't answer that. You'll have to talk to SIP2 Connect and the NUJ in particular about that. But I know from talking to Seamus Dooley earlier on today, the unions certainly have confidence in their members if they're allowed to play the role they should be allowed to play in that review on the future culture of the union, the future of the culture of the organisation. The unions want to play their role in that, and I think they have a very important role on behalf of all of the staff to play in that issue. Sorry, that's
Owen,
a bit longer than 10 seconds.
No, you're okay. It'll suffice. Owen Reilly, General Secretary of ICTU, thank you very much
indeed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.